welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Praise the Lord. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rockland Clark, and if you know Jesus, I'm your brother.
Amen.
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 Amen. It gives me, as you know, last Sunday we finally finished our series on Romans, and it gives me great pleasure to, I don't really need to introduce her, but I am so excited that my sister and yours, Paulia Mooney McCoy, is going to be bringing the word today. And so without further ado, our sister.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we are so thankful. We're so grateful for your presence in our midst, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, that though we know that you are here, though we are so thankful for you being here, Lord, we pray that you would manifest your presence today in a new way, Lord God. We pray for an unveiling of your presence today, Lord. Give us eyes to see you moving in our midst. We pray, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, good morning. Oh, you know what? I want to take out my timer. Let's see, is it a timer or a stopwatch? Which do you? So, yes, as Pastor Rockland said, I have the great privilege of coming right after he's been preaching for the past 6 months, so however long it's been. So here I am as the first of the leadership team to have that great privilege. Amen. Amen. So over the past several months, we've been in Romans, and we've been just looking at what the Lord would say to us there in the book of Romans, and we ended by looking at the last several chapters, and the key passage in one of those last several chapters that sort of flowed into the rest of it was Romans 12:1, which starts out by saying, in light of his mercy, his being Jesus, in light of his mercy, let us present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable act of worship. In light of God's mercy, it's really putting the spotlight on God's kindness to us, shown through Jesus Christ. And the rest of those chapters were sort of talking about how, in light of that, how we're to act as his followers, as believers. Last week we also were talking about the whole thing around sharing the gospel with others, and we talked about a lot of things, but there were a lot of things that sort of hit me last week. But that really struck me about sharing the gospel, and that God is equipping us to do that. And so we don't have to have some kind of big, glorious TV ministry or something, but that it's just about building relationships and sharing with those who we really build relationships with and become friends with. And then also last week, Damola shared a powerful word, really. It really struck me that God is calling us and will equip us if we come before him. And if we spend time with him. And so today, we're really going to do some of that. We're going to put the spotlight, again, as we've been doing week after week, we're going to put the spotlight on Jesus. And you know, you're going to have to forgive me if I get a little excited as I, you're just going to have to forgive me. I'm sorry. Because I don't have any kind of fancy sermon today. I don't have any PowerPoints. I have no worksheets. I have no bells and whistles. But I just am excited to talk about Jesus today. So I'm just excited about that. So anyway, we're going to go back to the book of Matthew. As you may remember, we spent a year pretty much going through the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're going to pick up right after we left off, right after the Sermon on the Mount, as it is recorded in Matthew. And my hope and desire, my prayer, is that we will all really be moved and touched as we spend time gazing upon God's mercy and love revealed in the person of Jesus. So before I read that the scripture that's for today, I want to set the scene by reading the passage that's before it in Matthew 7. Now our scripture, our key passage is Matthew, that's not our key passage. That thing that says key passage is not actually our key passage, but the key passage is underneath that, Matthew 8, 1 through 4. So I'm going to read that in a minute. But before I do that, I'm going to read the Matthew 7 passage. And it says this. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. As one with authority. Now, how do we feel about authority and power? How do we feel about authority and power? I think really in our society, we have a kind of a funny relationship with power and with authority. And, you know, it's kind of ambivalent really about our feelings about it. So many of us want power, you know, we want authority, but then we don't trust it. We don't trust authority. In fact, there used to be a bumper sticker, I'm dating myself, but there used to be a bumper sticker that used to say, question authority. So I think that came out of the 60s and 70s. Not that I was around then, but you know, for those of you who might have been, you know. But, you know, it's a funny thing that bumper sticker question authority. Now the very people who really, you know, put that bumper sticker out there, they're the people who are in authority now. They're the people who have power now, and they're loving it, let me tell you. But you know, we do have this funny relationship with power. And there was a saying that was coined really over a century ago, and that is the saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Many of you heard of that, and that was by a man actually who was a baron. So he was a man in power actually who quoted that. But he was a moralist, and he observed that that power corrupts. And he also said this. He said, "Great men are almost always bad men." You know, so there's this whole thought that greatness in power, greatness in authority, means that the person there's something malign about that. There's something bad about that. That you can't put together great infinite power and goodness. That's something that we really struggle with. And often we struggle with the whole thing around power and authority because we've been hurt by those who've been in power. We've been hurt by those who've been in authority over us. It could be our parents, things that our parents or our parental figures did, our pastors or church leaders, you know, our bosses, just people who I hear, Yeah, I mean, most of us have had that experience, those bad experiences with people in power. And I know that I myself have had those experiences, so it's very hard for me at times to put together authority and power and love and compassion. So that really brings me to our scripture for today, our key scripture. And actually, can I just have somebody really quickly, someone read Matthew 8, 1 through 4? It's on your scripture sheets. A volunteer. Great. Thank you, Sherry. Oh, and could you, yeah.
I sing loud. I don't talk loud. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourselves to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them."
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So I just also want to read from a companion, a parallel verses that's in Mark chapter 1, 40 through 45. But I'm going to just read verse 45 because I think that's really significant. It says, "Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man." Filled with compassion. That's how Mark records it. So let's pick up and let's look at this scene and the companion passage in Mark. And again, my goal is that this would only almost be like us watching a movie together, us really, or even better, us being able to be transported by the Holy Spirit back to this place where we can see these things unfold. That's really my desire. So as we pick this up, we see that Jesus has come down from the mountain where he had just had a marathon teaching session. And in the previous chapters, we see that he's been doing his thing. He's been teaching, preaching, and healing. And in these next passages that we're going to talk about, he focuses on the healing part. Because he's been teaching and preaching, he focuses on the healing part. Not that he hadn't been already doing that, because he had already been going around and healing and touching people's lives. But this was another sort of wave of that. And he was focusing on healing as being the visible demonstration of the kingdom of God coming near. That's what healing was all about. And in looking at this passage, we see that Jesus came down from this place of teaching and preaching, and there was a big crowd around him. And he had achieved something akin to celebrity status at this point. You know how quickly that turns, but at this point, he was a celeb. And the Bible tells us that the people were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed because he taught with power and authority that they hadn't seen in their teachers. And unlike their scribes and rabbis, unlike their teachers usually would, you know, they would have a big crowd and they'd be teaching, and they usually would rehash things that other rabbis had said. So they, you know, they were teaching kind of what they had heard, or they reinterpreted it. They kind of shuffled it around, and then that's what they would really focus on. But Jesus was talking about himself. Jesus was talking. He didn't have to rehash what another rabbi had said. He was setting himself up as the authority, and he said things like, "You have heard it said, but I say." That's what Jesus was saying. And he was saying, whoever puts my words into practice. So he was setting him. That's so audacious. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Jesus, he just, it's so bodacious. Like, hey, it's me. It's me. He's saying, it's me. And so, yeah, he was establishing himself as the authority. And the people knew that. They could feel that. So he had this big crowd. And it would, if you could imagine someone, in fact, who do you think would cause that bigger crowd to come if they were just sort of walk into town? Who?
Donald Trump,
okay. A big entourage, a whole bunch of folks trying to get close to him. Who else?
Morris. Don't let your husband hear you say that. She said Morris Chestnut. Oh, yeah. Well, praise the Lord. And she didn't hesitate either. She just said Morris Chestnut, honey. I asked. I know. Yes. So for those of you who don't know who Morris Chestnut is, he's a very, 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 very attractive. Second to my very, 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 very attractive husband. And of course to the brother right here as well. Okay, so moving right along. But you know, just the whole thing about celebrity status. I watched American Idol and I've watched The Voice, those kinds of shows. And you see these people who, yes, they're very talented and gifted. They can sing, they're wonderful. But you know what? Like 3 or 4 months before they got on that show, they were like really nobodies. Nobody cared really about what they did. But they were on that show for a few weeks and now everybody wanted to be with them. Everybody wanted to touch them. They could fill a whole stadium and by just coming out there to their hometown and talking or singing a couple of songs. They achieved this kind of celebrity status, but people didn't really know them, and they didn't really care about them beforehand either. But this is how it was with Jesus. He had this big crowd. People didn't really know exactly who he was, but they knew he was somebody special, and they wanted to be around him. So here is the crowd, and they're if you could see this in your mind's eye, they're all sort of jockeying for position. They're all trying to get close to the people who are close to the people who are close to Jesus. And then something happens. There's a stir in the crowd. You know, all of the excitement and everything suddenly just changes. The atmosphere changes. And people, you see people quickly moving to one side or the other. They're making a path. And you also see people, their faces are frowning. They're turning away in disgust. You might see mothers who are grabbing their kids and pulling them to the side. And their kids, their baby saying, "Mommy, mommy, who's that?" And the mother say, "Oh, no, 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 don't look. No, don't look. Come over here. Come over here. I don't want you to get too close." And so you see this path open up. Even grown men, if you can imagine, grown men, I would imagine they wouldn't know what to do. Because here is this person who's kind of shuffling through the crowd, and they know this person shouldn't be there, but they don't want to grab him and pull him away because they don't want to touch him. This guy is an untouchable. They don't want to have physical contact with him. This man is a leper. He's a leper. And at this time, at those times, in those biblical times, they used this word leprosy, but it really was something that that word represented a number of different infectious skin diseases. So it may not have been sort of the classic leprosy that we think about, but whatever it was, this man, in the Luke passage, actually, which I'll mention later on, it says he was covered with leprosy. It's a skin disease, and the Jews hated it. They abhorred it. They considered someone who had this disease to be cursed of God. And they had elaborate laws for diagnosing it and elaborate laws for dealing with the person who had leprosy. And just as an aside, if you want to look at that, just in your own research, Leviticus 13 and 14 talks in great detail. There is just amazing detail at how you determine whether somebody has leprosy or not, and then what do you do about it. And actually, in the Bible times, in the Old Testament times, a house could even have leprosy, some kind of wasting mold or wasting disease that's in the house. And if the house didn't, if you couldn't get it out of your house, you know, if you tried to scoop it out and pull it out and it kept coming back, you know what you had to do? Tear the house down. House had to go. So that's how serious this was. And in terms of dealing with the person with leprosy, just to sum it up, Leviticus 13:45, it says this, 45 and 46. It says, "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean,' As long as they have the disease, that they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. So not only did this affliction cause people to suffer physically, and physically it was bad enough. It could be a very disfiguring disease. Your skin would lose color, it would lose its pigment. There was raw skin, there was scabs. It was really an awful disease. You could lose fingers, toes, very disfiguring. But also, they suffered emotionally and socially. This person was an outcast. It was an outcast. And they had to announce this affliction wherever they went. Wherever they went, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean, as if it wasn't obvious enough. From the hair looking crazy, the skin, the fact that they had to wear something over their mouths, they had to yell out into the crowd, unclean, unclean. And this is the state of this person who's approaching Jesus. My prayer is as we listen to this man's story and Jesus' response to that, that the Lord would really speak to us about ourselves, and about how we touch others. But this is the state of this man. And why did he come to Jesus? Well, you know, he heard that Jesus was doing miracles. The Bible says that the news about what Jesus was doing was spreading everywhere. And so people heard, oh, wow, there's this guy. He's working miracles. He's healing people. And so this man decides that he's going to go. And I wonder why now. I really wonder about that, because what I read about leprosy is that it's a very slowly working disease, that it starts with one little tiny spot, and then slowly it gets worse and worse and basically takes over the whole person's, the person's whole body. But so this man has been suffering with this disease for years. Because as I said, the Bible said he was covered with leprosy. So he'd been dealing with this for years. Why now? And I wonder, as he heard that Jesus was around, that Jesus was coming, if there was some kind of hope that began to sort of wake up in him, you know? He started to say, wow. Maybe my life can change. Maybe something different can happen. Also, this man came because he was desperate. He was desperate, and he was aware of his need. He was aware that he had a need, that he needed his life transformed. He was sick and tired, you know, he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I don't know about you, but I know I have been in that place where you have been dealing with a particular thing year after year after year. And you're at a point where it's like, I don't care. I need to get healed. I need to get my healing on. I need it. And I need to come to Jesus. So I don't know about you. I've definitely been in desperate places and felt that kind of desperation. I think that is a real key place where God would have us, to be in touch with our need. I think that our society is one where, and I just was hearing somebody speak about this earlier, our society is one where we do a lot of things to try to distract us from feeling desperate. You know, the whole entertainment industry, all of our video games, all of our, you know, going here and there is trying to distract us from this sense that, wow, something is off here and I have a need. But this man could not cover up his need. He couldn't cover it up. This man is obvious. His skin, his clothes, his hair, everything. And also his need for companionship. He feels it, and so he comes.
You know, I actually have felt even recently a growing sense of desperation and about particular things. And actually, when Damola spoke last week and mentioned the whole thing about God calling us into our calling, as she put it, that really it brought up some desperation in me, because I want to grow in that area. I want to know more about what God is calling me to do. And I was feeling desperate. When she said that, it just meant like, wow, Lord, I need you to touch me. I need to know. But this man's desperation gave him courage. He didn't care about the humiliation. He didn't care about people staring at him in disgust. He wanted healing. He knew that Jesus was someone special. So let me just take a few minutes and talk about how he came. How did he come? First of all, he came humbly. The Bible says he bowed before Jesus. He was on his knees. He called him master. He called him Lord. He called him sir. All terms of respect and submission. He didn't come with pride, like demanding. And there's a story in the Bible about another leper. This is in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings. His name was Naaman. And this guy was, he was a Syrian high commander, Syrian officer. And, you know, very proud guy. And he was also suffered with leprosy, but he was a highly esteemed man and very prideful. And he heard through a little servant girl who happened to be a Hebrew, he heard that there was a prophet through whom God could heal his leprosy. So this man, you know, he's a big head honcho. He's like, whoa, okay, well then I'm going to go to this prophet and see what happens. You know, I'm assuming that I'm going to go to the prophet, going to knock on the door, boom, boom, boom. He's going to come down, see who I am, you know, who I am, because I am obviously me, and he's going to do something special, going to wave his hand, and then I'm going to go and be healed. But when he took his entourage, he was another celebrity, he took his entourage with him, and when he got there to the prophet's door, this is the prophet Elisha, knocked on the door, Elisha didn't even come downstairs. He didn't even come downstairs. He just sent a message saying, listen, go bathe yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, which was a nasty nasty river, go bathe yourself and you're going to be healed. But this man was so full of pride, he was like, what? I came all the way over here, you know, came, brought my entourage and everything so you could be impressed with me, and you don't even come downstairs? What is up with that? But you know what? His little servant, his servant said to him, master, you know what? Chill. This, if he had told you to do any other great thing, you would have done it. So just go do that. Go bathe in the river. And so he did. He humbled himself. He humbled himself and he bathed in the river and he was healed. But that's contrasting to this man who shuffles up before Jesus and falls on his knees in submission, in humility. He comes also expectantly. He has an expectation that something's going to happen as he comes before Jesus. But you know what? He didn't quite understand about that power that Jesus had. He didn't understand that Jesus' power and his authority was also coupled with love and compassion. You can hear this in this man's statement. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing. That has the question in it. Jesus, are you willing? Are you willing? And it also has a statement of faith in it. Jesus, I know you can do it. You can make me clean. You can transform my life. You can change this leprosy. Which, you know, in that time, there really was very rarely a cure. And the cure always came from God. They didn't have any cure for leprosy. There was no cure. But this man had faith that Jesus could do something. He says, you can make me clean. Now, let's just freeze the frame right there real quick. And let's just
let's just swivel the camera around. We were looking at that man, the leper, but let's swivel the camera around for a minute and look at Jesus, the man that he came to. Remember earlier I said that we do have very ambivalent and mixed feelings about power and authority, because we have very little experience, or maybe no experience, with how absolute power and absolute infinite goodness and compassion can come together in one person. It's almost like when we have these dials where we dial the treble up and the bass down and the bass up and the treble down. We think you can't have both totally up at the same time. But with Jesus, you can. Power and love are dialed up to the maximum. So we're looking at Jesus as being the embodiment of that combined, that the combined power and authority. And Jesus is God with skin on. I just love that statement. Jesus is God with skin on. In Christ, as Colossians says, in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, all the power, all the authority, all the love, all the holiness, all that dwells in Jesus. And this is the one to whom the leper comes and bows. He's not really sure of who this is, but he takes a risk. He takes a chance. And this is the part that I think is just so beautiful, and I think it so graphically demonstrates the marriage of God's power and love. Jesus reaches out his hand and touches this man. And to answer his question, his query about, are you willing? Jesus says to him, I am willing. He says to him, I want to make you whole. I want to. I am willing.
Hallelujah.
I am willing. Jesus has the authority to say that and then for something to happen. You know, I thought about authority really quick. I thought about authority. Authority is the ability to know stuff, say stuff, and then stuff happens. You know, you know stuff, you say stuff, and then stuff happens. And, you know, I don't know how many of you, but I know this is, I have experienced this, been in a job where I might know something, but I can't do anything about it. Or you might be able to say a whole lot of stuff, give a lot of ideas, but nothing ever happens. It's really frustrating. You laughing. I know, you've been there. I mean, it is very frustrating. And actually, after a while, people don't even come to you because they know you can't do anything. You know, used to be people come to you, tell you what's going on, what the problem is, but they don't even come to you anymore because they know she can't do anything. You might as well just go to the big boss, go to the person in authority who actually can do something. But you know what? Jesus is one who had the authority. Because he knew the man's situation, he spoke to it, and then immediately the leprosy left. But the glory of this, and this is, just makes me so excited, that Jesus not only spoke to this man, what else did he do? He touched him. He touched this man. This man probably hadn't been touched in years. Do you realize? I was just reading about research they did about how human beings need touch. You have babies that die in these orphanages and die in these hospitals because nobody has touched them. In order for people to thrive, they need to be touched. And this man had not had that. And Jesus, who could have spoken the word, because he's done that. He did that, where he spoke a word and something happened, a miracle happened. But he didn't just leave it at that. He knew the man's need and he touched him. He touched him. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And that word means that Jesus' very insides were like turned upside down because of the condition of this man. It got him in the gut that this man was suffering. And Jesus reached out and touched him. He put his hands right on this man who was covered with sores. He had raw, oozing skin, blisters full of scabs. He put his hand right on that disease. And you know what? This was against Jewish law. You were not supposed to touch someone who was unclean because that would make you unclean. But Jesus, rather than Jesus becoming unclean with this man's affliction, Jesus infected this man with the healing power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. This is our Jesus. This is our God. Let's just freeze the frame right there in our scene. Can you see the faces of the people in the crowd as they look at this happening? This man was an outcast. This man was no longer a member of the community. And Jesus, who had become a celebrity rabbi, Jesus puts his hands on him. We see Jesus, freeze it right there, when you see Jesus with his hand on this man. And you see the skin on this man starting to turn from cracked open sores, gray patches, hair turning white. It starts to turn into glowing, healthy skin. His hair starts to turn back to its natural color. See this man's face as he's looking up at Jesus. See Jesus looking into his eyes. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 This has tremendous implications for us. And I pray that the implications that I have not even thought of, that God speaks them into your heart even now. I have three questions that I want us to take some time to talk about, to think about. The first one is this. Do we have a hard time seeing Jesus as both powerful and infinitely compassionate? Or do we find it easy to see him as all powerful, but we doubt his compassion for us personally? So it's this place of, you know, oh yeah, I know he's got all the power, but will he do something for me? Or the opposite, you can say, oh, I know he loves me. I know he loves me, but my life is so messed up. He can't really change it. Doesn't really have the power. I mean, we wouldn't say that, but ultimately that's how we feel. So that's the first question. Can you identify with the leper? Are you in touch with your desperation for a touch from God? Has your hope been ignited? Even as you have heard this story, has your hope been ignited, or are you still in despair? Where are you right now? And the third one is this: who are the lepers or the untouchables in your life, in your community? Because they're there. The people that, you know, if they're coming down the street, everybody wants to give them a wide berth. And they may not be so obvious. It may not be so obvious. It may not be that we're just talking about the homeless person on the street or whatever. It may not be that. But there are people that there are those in the church, sad to say, and certainly larger society, that does not want to touch, doesn't want to deal with. I have a good friend who is just, this guy's a real crazy guy. And actually, he was here at Life Church one Sunday when we were over at the club around the corner. And he's a really funny guy. And he actually came up. This just shows how crazy he is. So this was his first Sunday coming to Life Church, didn't know anybody. And it was Testimony Sunday. And he jumped up and gave a testimony. So he's just been a very good friend for years. Well, one thing he does, he's been a missionary, and he goes around from church to church a lot of times, and he speaks at different churches. He was a missionary in the Philippines and spent time with the folks who live in the garbage dumps in India. In the Philippines. And so he'd spent time there, and he goes from church to church to speak. Well, he also has a great sense of humor. And one day what he did was he had this hat, looks like a trucker's hat. And the hat has this long stringy hair that comes out the side of it. And so when you look at, if you were to look at him, you have to see the trucker's hat, you see the long stringy hair, and then he like blackened one of his teeth. And he went to the church where he was going to speak. Yes, he did. And he went in there, and he was watching how people responded to him. You know, people kind of want to sit a little bit, you know, farther away. You know, people didn't speak to him. You know, he's crazy. People didn't speak to him. Yeah. And then it's like, boop, take off the hat and the hair. It's me. It's me. How do we treat people who might be considered untouchables? So that question is, who are they? Do you know who they are in your community? And let God speak to you about that. And what is Jesus' response to them? How can you be part of that response? Now, we're going to take a moment and we're going to break up into groups and we're going to talk about these things. And you know, some of the sharing may seem a little deeper than maybe you're used to. And you might be in a group with people that you may not know that well. You might be a visitor. You might, you know, not have been here before. You may not feel that comfortable sharing on a deep level. And you know what? That's okay. That really is okay. We don't want to force anybody to share. But I want to encourage you, really, to do as the leper did. He took a chance. He took a risk. And he let himself be seen and known. And so I encourage you, if you need prayer today, to get prayer about those places where you may feel yourself an outcast, where you may feel leprous yourself, to get prayer. Jesus is present in the midst of his body right here and right now. You also might be that hand, that arm reaching out to touch somebody. Somebody may need a touch today, and you might be the one to touch that person and display Jesus' love and power to them. So I encourage that as we gather together. We're going to meet for a few minutes. The questions that I just mentioned are also on your scripture sheets. So as you turn and share, you can look at the scripture sheets and you can share. You don't have to talk about every one of those questions. It's whatever gets brought up for you in your group. So if we can take time now. Yeah, if the first row can turn around to the second, the third can turn around to the fourth. I would like to say, though, that if your group is too big, you might want to divide into two groups. So if we could just take a moment and do that. So just turn. Oh, we have no first row to turn to the second row here. So Jesus is here. Jesus is present. Don't be afraid. Just want to also remind folks to, if it comes up, to spend time to pray for one another as the Lord leads. I hate to break in to this time, actually, which is very precious. I would encourage you, though, to continue these conversations. If you're in a life group or just getting together with other believers, to really continue this conversation. Also, one other thing I want to say before I just pray is that this really is sort of part one of this, looking at this passage.
I did not look at the last verse of this passage, which talks more about Jesus' restoration of the leper into the community. And I'm going to be talking about that, not next week, as Brother Bill probably would hope. You're on, brother. But the following week, when I come back to talk about Jesus healing many, I'm going to talk more about a community of being healed ones that are being healed. And so I'm going to talk more about that. So let's just pray together. Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much for your presence here. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We just praise you, Lord. We thank you for your power and your authority, your sovereignty, Lord. We thank you for your love and your compassion and your goodness. Lord, we need you. We need you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to have a deeper understanding of who you are and your infinite compassion and grace and mercy, and also your infinite power. Really help us to understand that more deeply, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that for those of us who feel like we are lepers, Lord God, help us to take the risk and to come to you. We pray, Lord, that we would feel your hand upon us, and we would feel that even through the body of Christ coming around us, Lord. Help us to come out of places of shame, Lord, but to come with expectancy, knowing that you are able and that you are willing. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be your hands and feet. Lord, help us to reach out. Help us to get over our fear, Lord, whatever that fear might be. Help us, Lord, to just be propelled and compelled, Lord, by your love and your mercy as it was extended to us. So, Father, thank you. We pray for just more conversation. We pray for more revelation. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.